Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, what's going on? Once again, welcome to another week of the Man Up Talk Show. Once again, welcome everyone. And before we go any further, I have to extend a disclaimer before we even get to the introductions. A disclaimer, we was live at the Southern Comfort Cafe last week due to some technical difficulties, us passing to their system, utilizing their, their network, we was having problems. So we apologize. However, the owner as well as the owner and the management, they are more than willing to give us all the support that we need to make sure it comes out correct. They are working on it as we speak. They're very much supportive of what we're doing. So we're very honored and happy. But we're going to get together. You know, we're just trying to expand. But we appreciate Southern Comfort Cafe for allowing us to do this and supporting us. And we got my brother online, Brother Edward L. Fairley. What's going on, brother?
What's up, man? How y'all doing? Good evening.
Awesome. Good evening, brother. Good evening. Good evening.
I wish I was there with y'all last week, man.
Y'all felt like y'all was enjoying yourself. It was, man. You know what, bro? Because, you know what, it got to a point, it got live. I mean, you know, it was crazy because you had teachers, you had other people right there sitting, eating and talking, you know, some at the bar, there's some sitting down ordering food. They wanted to be in the conversation. So we was like, as Dow and, you know, Brother Davis and, you know, Brother Reynolds was working on it, I was in there trying to, you know, work behind the scenes to get the technical thing right. I'm trying to patch in. I'm like a Mad Hatter, got my tie took off. I'm trying to get things together, but it was very interactive. It's amazing because I think just that alone, we picked up maybe an additional 50 listeners. Just that's out of that spot alone, and the word is already expounded. So I was like pleasantly surprised. I mean, and I wish you was there because I know you'd have went in because we had this group of women. I know they checked us out. Because they was going in. They was saying, and it's funny. They was going in, bro. They was going in. And you think professional women, they were saying some of the most craziest things. I was like, what? One woman. Now, she said, I dare you to say it. I'm going to say it. She said, well, before I die, I want to praise the Lord and have a foursome.
Oh, wait a minute.
Another one was a principal talking about she want to try recreational drugs, then go to church. I was like, what?
Wow.
But it was crazy. And Brother, you know, still Brother David, he had to get on. He said, listen, and the other guy told him, I want to rob a bank. He said, listen, I can't be with you on a rob in the bank. He said, however, you know, I want to spend some of my time with my children. You know, those are the most important things to me. So I applaud Brother David. Keeping them grounded because he had to kind of do control because they just start getting off the hook. But yeah, man, you would have enjoyed it. But the owners and the management have to listen to the archives. They are official fans, man.
Oh, that's what's up.
They're fans. But what's going on, brother? I know you got a lot of things going on even tonight. What's going on?
Yeah, the boys that I mentor, they're having a lock-in. Tonight, and it starts at 8 o'clock, and it's going from 8 to 8 in the morning. So I told them that I would be there, and, you know, my word is my bond. So I'm going to go and be with my boys. So I said I'll be here for an hour. I'll do this for an hour, and then I got to go and see my boys. It's more to prepare them because they present themselves to the community on the 5th. Of October, so it's more of preparation and rehearsal to get them right so that they're sharp when it's time to present themselves to the community to show what they've been working on for the past 2.5 months.
Whoa, man, that's a blessing, man. That's definitely a blessing, man. Do you want to let that someone, or you got somebody on the line? You're on the line with the man of the show. Who you have on the line?
Tom Reynolds.
Oh, what's going on, brother? Tom Reynolds is on the line. What's going on,
how are you?
Oh, can't.
Still working. Voice.
Still working, man. I hear you. Brother Tom was getting it in, bro. What's up, brother? How you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'll leave it there. It's been a day. It's been a long day.
Hey, I hear you, man. I mean, Brother Ed was talking about the mentorship as far as he has to lock in tonight. With the boys. So big shout out to what's the name of the organization, brother? Because I know a lot of people say, well, what's the mentorship organization?
Oh, well, I'm in several, but this is Alpha Omega. It's called Alpha Omega. It's a ministry where, like I said, I work with young boys from 11 to 18 years of age, and they go through like a rite of passage process where they have to learn all the principles and values of the ministry. It's kind of like a younger fraternity. So they're learning, the secret words, and it's kind of a community to allow them to be comfortable with sharing information and us growing. But it's scriptural or Bible based, and we grow from those principles and stuff like that as better young men as far as our walk and stuff and with, throughout the community and as citizens of the world, period.
Good luck, man. Definitely good luck, bro.
Brother Tom, man, what's going on as far as in your world? What's happening as far as on your front? What's happening with the NAACP? Any news? I mean, there's some news happening, but
there's some news happening. We're trying to actually, we just got this interesting discrimination case today or yesterday, and mm-hmm. we're going to be, as it kind of unfolds, I'll give more information. But right now, like, it's going to one of those. We're surprised to see that it's happening right here in town by one of our larger employers and someplace that, our people go to shop all the time. So we're going to be taking on some of the, we're going to be handling that issues, making sure that the people who work there are treated fairly, make sure that they are getting the promotions and the equal pay. And, that's, like I said, it's shocking that this is happening in our own backyard, in Montclair even, but it is, so.
Definitely, definitely. You know, I mean, that's definitely a whole other topic alone about equal pay, what's fair pay. I mean, I think that definitely with employment, knowing your worth, knowing, how you should be properly paid, is certain taboos, is it okay to, say, hey, listen, when is it okay to ask for a raise, all these other things. Is women getting paid more than men? It's a whole bunch of conversation around that alone. But tonight's topic, gentlemen, we're going to go in. And Facebook, we've had quite a few responses. I believe it's the baby mama drama and daddy, whatever. What's the word for daddy drama? Well, what did he say, Debbie? what's all this terminology? I mean, I've heard everything, all nicknames and stuff like that, but I think we're going to address a lot of the issues that comes with, if you're not in a relationship, but however you have a child, together, two parents mm-hmm. have a child together, the responsibilities included, some of the myths, some of the what I call it the ghetto myths, some of the different things that are associated with the baby mama drama and daddy drama, they want to call it. So, we're going to get right into it. We're not even going to go to the music interlude right now because Brother Ed is on time, and I want to kind of, pick his brain and his views on this subject already. So I'm going to start with Brother Ed and Tom. Give me your views on from what you dealt with as far as baby mama drama, the daddy drama, in our community. Let's talk about in our community, then I guess we can expound outside of it.
I've dealt with it all. I've dealt with it all, but in the end, I ended up being the example and setting the tone, and it ended up working out great. Not sure if everyone knows, but my older son, which I don't do the whole stepson thing, but being as though we're talking about this topic, I've been in his life since he was 2 years of age. In the beginning, there was issues with his dad and accepting me in his son's life, which I wasn't trying to replace him. I'm just doing me and taking my wife as a package deal. I didn't think that she was going to be coming by herself, and I treated the whole situation as such. And I meant no ill harm to his son, and I considered him my own son, just like I treat any other. Basically, I don't treat any children different, period, that I encounter.
Right.
Anyway, but, of course, there was feelings and stuff involved and everything like that. Oftentimes, threats even and, just out-of-hand stuff, disrespect towards my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time and everything, during the whole ordeal. And you have to, for one, know and understand that this is what you're getting yourself into. because the guy is going to always be in their lives, but it takes a very strong person to deal with the stuff, accept your role, step in when it's time to step in, and not be in when it's when you're not in it, and just make sure that their conversation is solely about the child, and let him know that you are there, and And also, what I'm adamant about is never allowing my wife to say anything bad about his dad in front of him.
You may want to repeat that again, brother. I mean, please, the listeners, hear what my man just said.
I do not allow my wife to say anything. I don't care what he's doing or anything like that. I don't allow my wife to say anything negative about his birth father in front of my child, because in the end, if that's how he's going to end up feeling, it's going to be based on his experiences, not based on what we teach him or tell him to feel about his father. There's no need. If you're doing the right thing, that will show. You might not feel like it in the beginning, because of course there's going to be an attachment with the birth father. But as time goes and y'all's relationship grows, and he sees the genuine love that you have for him, and that it has nothing to do with necessarily even his mom. You just really love him dearly. You all will build a relationship, and he'll know and understand you for who you are, and everything will end up, the truth will come out in the end. But to make a long story that's already been a long story short, my son's father and I are very close friends, where he calls me for advice about his, he's now in the situation that I'm in. Talk about karma.
Mm-hmm.
He's married to someone who had a child prior to them getting together, and he goes through the stuff that he had once put me through. So I kind of walk him through that as well as we make decisions about my son. He oftentimes calls me and asks me for advice, or asks me, can I handle something, because my son might not be talking with him or not opening up to him. So, and he knows the different things that we do quite often, because I have my son pretty much the whole year, and he gets him on the weekends. Unfortunately, sometimes I have to force my son over there with him. But, again, that's the bond that we've built throughout the time. But when there's big things, like, people always consider me weird. Like, they call me, what you doing? Oh, me, my son and his dad, we're going to the movies. People are like, what? Who does that? What is wrong with you? stuff that is considered the norm to me, or what I feel should be the norm, is abnormal to most people, when in actuality I think that's the best for the child. My son literally knows that he has two dads, and he absolutely loves and enjoys both of us for different reasons. So, and it's all because we finally put down all those barriers and those walls. He sees that I have no intentions on harming his child, and I have nothing but love for his child. Through my consistency and me proving myself over and over again, not intentionally, but just by being myself, and through the relationship that we have in the growth. As far as my son has been on the honor roll, and his scholastic level is high, and all that stuff, and it's because I spend time and I invest time in my child. And that's it.
Very well. That's it. Now, Brother Tom, I don't know, we discussed a little bit, but I'm not sure you have a kid or not. You know, I know that I think you mentioned something about a niece or nephew that you're very close with.
Well, I have no kids. I've got my sister who I'm close with, but I do have a friend who has a child who, I almost consider this girl to be like another younger sister. But I think it's interesting because she doesn't have, or her father's not in her life. This kid is, she needs a father figure.
I'm glad you said that. Do you expound on that a little bit? Do you know the reasons why? Has she expressed to you, why dad's not in life?
Well, so I had an interesting experience sort of growing up. I spent a good part of my youth with just my father. My mom left before my second birthday. And then my father ended up passing when I was 12, and I spent sort of the rest of my life with a lot of the females that were in my life, my grandmothers, my aunts, my stepmother. And it was kind of like an interesting moment in time to be 13, hitting puberty, with just like a house full of women. It's like, how do you shave your beard? What do you, just those little things, right? And I really leaned on my uncles. But I realized that, growing up with or seeing other, I had so many people that were like in my life growing up with sort of a mother figure and a father figure, even though they weren't my mom and dad, or, depending on what part of my life it was mm-hmm. important to sort of get those both sides of the coin there, the both ways that, you know, dealing with, how mm-hmm. do I learned how to deal with females because my mom, my stepmom would sit me down. I learned how to, you know, repair my, used to do work on my car for my father. I got my love for education from my father. I got my love for cooking from mm-hmm. my grandmother, and I got, and all those different, you know, things that you get that are, you know, you don't want to make sort of gender roles, but they end up sort of being gender right. roles. They all came from different people in my life. And, mm-hmm. the, you know, the times when I didn't have a female in the life, it was, I didn't understand a lot of things. You know, from mm-hmm. when my mom left to my dad getting remarried, that whole block of time, there was a lot I just didn't grasp.
Right, right.
And now I've got this friend who has a daughter in a household full of women, and mm-hmm. you know, that there's just this. It's interesting because she has trouble, disciplining and getting her to do what she wants her to do. And I come in and I'm right. like, Caitlin, just sit down. And it's like, she does it. It's like, okay, you do, and she'll do it. And we have, I think, some of the greatest conversations, even though she's only like 4 years old. I think we have some of the greatest mm-hmm. conversations. And, it, you know, she's got this love for things that I love that, I don't know, it just, it, I don't really even know how to describe it, but I love having that in my life. And even though I'm not her father, I'll always sort of be there for it.
Well, I mean, you're playing a real significant role, I mean, being in the child's life, because I guess that the child is reaching and still saying, hey, listen, I still need that male figure in my life. And, you know, everyone plays a part. I mean, whether if the father's not there, whether it's a mentor, whether there's an uncle or someone, you're playing a real important part in her life. And, you know, that, trust me, she remembers all of it. That's for me, that. Now, just so I'm going to keep swinging it around, everybody. I believe we have the lovely Miss Signature Black online. Hello, the First Lady of the Man Up Show. How are you doing, Miss Signature?
I'm doing fine. Hi, guys. I missed you guys. Apparently, I missed a really good party last week.
Yes, 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 it was. I mean, we were working out the technical difficulties, but, you know, the ownership
loved us to death. Oh, please, that's nothing. Pitch pots, life happens.
But you know what? We picked up a very nice big fan base.
Great,
but,
wonderful. So, see, the job was done. You guys kind of seem like you had a really great time. I wish I could have been there, but it was my son's birthday, and there's no way I could explain to him that I left on his 16th birthday.
Oh, okay. Say happy birthday, sir. Well, hey, listen, we were sitting in this situation, we know you know the topic. We talk about, you know, maybe it should not be baby mama's drama and daddy's drama. Maybe it just needs to be fathers and fathers. Oh, you want to stay there?
Let's stay there. What you doing for her? She's 4 years old. She's going to remember that for the rest of her life.
Yes, she will.
Trust
yes,
me.
Yes, she will.
The way Eddie is with his son, kudos. I come from what I tell everybody is a blended, extended, mixed up, retarded family. Apparently, once you marry into this family, divorce means nothing. My kids have like 6 or 7 parents, and whoever's in town or around, they will call at that time because we've been married and remarried and all that other good stuff. And we, like Eddie, don't believe in the step. If I marry you and you're in my life, you and all your kids will come into my life as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do the step thing either. I'm not into the step thing. Kids are kids. I adopt kids that don't even, not even attached to me. So I do. I've got some kids around here, and none of my kids are here, and this amazes me. But I think it's important the way you treat kids. And I say that as a little girl who had 2 dads.
Right.
Because my mom and my dad got a divorce, and then there was this stepfather in my life. And I gave him purity hell because I was mad at my dad. And I gave him purity hell, but what I applauded him for and what I appreciated was that he didn't care that I was this mean, little, stubborn, evil as hell little girl, he still did what he had to do as a father. And when I talk about my dad today, that's who I'm talking about, because my real father is my father, and he's passed on. And the joke came, and the two of them became really good friends, and the joke became that I needed two dads to raise me. And for the longest, I had two dads and a mom, and I thought that was the best thing ever.
Wow. That's
and
a blessing.
So any influence, anybody can be in a child's life, however you come into that child's life, don't let titles or relationships or lack of bloodline, none of that should interfere. The thing that I don't like and I can't stand is you get into these relationships with these people, you become a part of the child's life, that relationship ends, that does not mean you end that relationship with that child.
That's the problem I have. I like what you just said.
We actually had paperwork on that. My wife and I actually had paperwork on that. As far as death or divorce, I'm still in my son's life. It is not being taken away.
And that's great. My son that my ex-husband brought to the marriage, I met him when he was 5 months old. I fell in love with that little boy, and that was my son. Nobody could tell me any different. And he calls me Mommy Siggy. Nobody can get that. When my ex-husband and I got a divorce and he wanted to come live with me, his mom was like, "That's your mother, by all means." No way I was going to sever those ties with him.
Now, Sig, I'm glad you said that. I mean, because you said something right there. I mean, personally, and I'm pretty sure, Tom, you've heard about it. I know you've dealt with it before. You have many of these couples. I'm not going to say it's just the younger people, early 20s or teens or whatever. They have these children. They get mad at the other person. They bring this other child to life. You have a man who'll step up or a young man, whatever. You bring this child into life with this man or this woman or whatever. You get mad at the person. You snatch that away. Now you're talking, don't talk to that person. You get away from that person. Is that right or wrong, or is there certain circumstances, of course, if as long as nothing criminal and the child's not getting hurt, is it wrong to just snatch that child away from that relationship that person built with that child?
Yes, you know why? Kids are very impressionable. Kids only know what they know. And you have this person in their life, and then you take this person away, and just because you and this person didn't get along, if that person still wants to be a part of your child's life, I think you owe it to that child. You put this person in this child's life and went so far as to let this person pick this child up from school or take them out and do things with them or whatever, and then you want to snatch that away, you are ruining your child's image of people and adults for the rest of their damn lives. They will not trust anyone. They'll think everyone is there for a time, and then that person has to go.
That's right.
Tom, what's your thoughts on that one? Tom, what's your thoughts on that one?
First of all, she's right. You know, you have to look at it with the bigger issue of how this kid is going to handle or learn from that experience. It took a lot of effort and a lot of counseling just for me to understand that a relationship isn't going to last, you know, a couple of years and then be over. And so, when you start bringing people in and snatching them out and then bringing them in and snatching them out, that's what they're learning. They're not learning what a healthy relationship is. They're not learning what long-term means, what...
Good point.
Yeah. So you're causing a lot of damage when you start ripping people in and out of a child's life, especially
that's
when that person builds a significant relationship with them.
I mean, I'm glad you tied the relationship, because it goes right to what I was about to ask. Now, the child is seeing this now at an early age. He's seeing that mommy says, you know what, this relationship is bad, to get away from this man or whatever, but, you know, you had this man or this woman, it's going both ways, you know, spending time with the child, playing daddy or playing mommy, picking the child up from school, daycare or whatever, feeding the child, all the stuff. You'd have made this person, this adult, a part of this child's life and stuff like that. And this child's, like, referring to they might even not call him daddy or mommy, whatever, but they have a deep relationship. But mom says, you know what, get away from him. I got a new boo or whatever the hell the terminology is being used. You know, this child is learning this relationship, you know, they're bouncing from one person. On a relationship level, could this really hurt? I mean, you deal with a lot of relationships, Brother Ed.
can it really hurt? I believe Tom hit it on, you know, hit it on the head. How can this really hurt them long term?
It hurts them because that's their new normal. That's what they learn is normal. That's what love is to them and life is to them. New person is never just one steady person, and then they'll learn, which is very important. I always talk about this all the time. You do not, unless you are really, really serious about a person or like really advancing your relationship, that's like the last resort is to introduce your child.
Thank you.
That is like the last. That's like the last thing you do is introduce your child.
Yeah, like a week before the wedding.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Definitely discuss children and discuss like how they feel about children and all that stuff like that. Watch them with other children, just not your children.
Thank you.
I'm so
thank
serious,
you.
Man,
thank
because like
we're talking
about that. that snatching the kids up and all that stuff like that is just not a good. It's not a good thing because, like I said, that's what they learn as the norm, and like he said, that's what they learn love is, and they learn nothing about longevity and just what a true and wonderful relationship is all about.
Wow, it sounds like a bigger issue here. You guys may have just touched on something. It sounds like a bigger issue. It sounds like we may have generations of people that's been taught that while growing up.
Yeah.
And that's probably why they have some relationship problems.
And they don't realize it. And they think that what they're doing is right because that's what they learned from mom and dad and all that stuff. So it's just an ongoing curse that they don't realize that there's anything wrong with it, so they don't try to fix it because it's the norm.
Wow.
Exactly.
I love that. That's deep.
And you see, people fuss at me because when I was dating or even dating, when I'm not married, you don't get to meet my kids. I'm very selfish with my kids. I hate I got to share them with their damn dad. I'm not sharing them with new people. And I remember when my son was six, when my mini-me was six, the one that just turned 16, I said, Jordan, are you going to give me away at my wedding when I get married again? He said, Mama, no little boy in his right mind going to give his mama to some man. I'm not giving you back to my daddy. And I thought that was hilarious. He turned 12 and changed his mind and goes, when are you going to seriously date someone? And I'm like, I am dating someone. And I said, I thought she was going to give me away. He said, look, woman, we're getting older now. You're going to be alone in a minute. My mini-me is a hoop. And so,
hey, you know what's funny?
What?
I'm tripping that she called him mini-me because that's what I call my son, my oldest son. Mini-me. I'm calling
that little boy is his mama's child, up and down. But then, like now, he'll say, when do we get to meet Sansa? When do we get to meet? No, a week before the wedding. You know, he's a little crazy. He's going to wake up one day and realize, I am totally crazy, and it's not going anywhere. He might walk. A week before the wedding, you can meet him.
Well, I'm glad that you guys both said that. Don't introduce him.
don't rush to introduce him, especially not my mini-me when he was little. He gets attached to people real quick.
Yeah, his do. Oh my God.
His current stepmom, his dad's current wife, because his dad's been married four times since me. He calls her mom because she's been around the longest, and his grandmother made an issue out of that. Why does she get the? I don't give a damn what he called her. Who he look like, who he act like, ask him who his mama really is.
Exactly.
That's all that matters to me.
You said that about the mom calling. Now, I've heard debates, guys argue, I heard women argue, you know, I'm taking care of his kid, and we're together. Call me mom. You know, I mean,
you know
is
what?
That right?
Now, see, that should not be forced on the child. That should be a child's decision. You should not be telling your child.
No.
You call your mama. You call her mom. That should be something that the child decides.
Right.
That
and
is
this
crazy.
Is what he made,
you know what
his
saying?
Decision
what
on his. He came up with it on his own. It was like, and he was so honest about it. He doesn't have any filters or any boundaries. And he goes, well, Mom, I call her Mom. Is that okay with you? I mean, because if it's not okay, I can call her something else. Dude, I don't care what you call her. Matter of fact, you might grow up to be a serial killer. Call her Mom. Let her be the mom of the interview. You know? Well, my thing is, you know, his dad was feeling some kind of way about it, and I was like, it doesn't matter what he calls me. I know who I am. He knows who I am. Something really happened. Okay. He will tell you what his mom's real name is. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have any problems with people being in my kid's life. I'm going to vet you, of course. And as long as you treat him right, then I'm good. I had to call her and let her know, if you don't beat the brakes off of him, you're going to have problems. You're going to be by him for the rest of your life. Because he's crazy. He will try you. And that's what he was doing to her. And she was like, it's not my place to discipline him. You spend more time with him than any of
that's
us.
That's crazy.
You might want to pop him a few times.
And you know what? We're going to go into that discipline, too. Next. As you would see, this has a lot of little glasses to it. Now, I mean, now, in my situation, everybody share their situation, my situation. You know, listen, I was a rolling stone at one point. I was wild, but I wasn't married at the time, you know. I had kids, you know. I had multiple kids. But now, don't worry, it's underneath a basketball team, so we're good.
Okay.
however, I had my daughter, I had my son, and I had another daughter I didn't know about. But however, once I found out how my kids I had, I made sure I went to the doctor, I took care of my business. But anyway, going forward, it is ironic because, you know, I prayed on it because my family, a lot of the men, I don't know if it's, you know, it's like you said, I grew up, it's okay for a man to be with multiple women. I grew up in that type of environment. I wasn't taught that. My own father wasn't teaching me that. So that's why I learned some things as I was little. But as I got older, I started doing some of the same things my father did. My sister, you know, and I love her to death, she said, the sins of a father were upon the son. And when she said that, I never forgot. I was on the block, changed my whole entire life. I stopped a lot of my ways. I became more as far as a father, doing what I had to do. Then I wound up getting custody of my son. So I'm a single father. Well, I'm homeless with the kids. I'm trying to figure this all out. So I go to church trying to find some answers. As I'm coming out of church, talk to the pastor on a counseling session, my daughter, who I have not seen, and her mother, I have not seen in years, is walking into the same church I'm walking out of.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at this child, the child looking at me, and that's my daughter, which now I have. And since then, me and that lady that I met, her baby mother, that's my wife, we've been together ever since. And that was 15 years ago. So now I was very blessed to have that and break that curse, you know, as far as having raising both of my kids. But it was weird because both of them were born the same damn year. But I changed it in. Yeah, I know. I was wild and sick.
No, that's not it. I would love to see you explain that to them. Y'all 6 months apart because.
You know, but you know what? I kept it. See, the thing with them, I kept it honest with them. I kept it real. I said, listen, Dad did some things that was questionable and it wasn't right. I wasn't taught. But however, I'm going to break that curse and I'm going to teach y'all better. And it was weird.
Oh, that
they enrolled to school, enrolled them into school and everything like that. They was like, they're twins? Like, no, they're not twins. Can you enroll them in school, please? Stop asking questions. I got all the documents. So they asked me all these questions, but, you know.
Like, look, they're mine, okay? Can we do this?
Exactly. They're asking questions like, oh, so they're not. Listen, just put them in a damn school.
And you would think adults, they're looking at you and the kids are right there. Ask these questions when they're not around. Please shut up.
Yeah, but now, but it's funny because the kids now, they look at each other like, my son like, oh, player. I said, all right, shut up. I said, I raised both of y'all, so we good. So, you know, I say that because my missus, she also had another son, you know, coming to a relationship. And, you know, he was first calling by my name and, he asked me, you know, listen, I have a dad. His dad has been his life, but he says, can I call you Pop? I said, do you feel comfortable calling me that? And he asked me, I said, you know, I said, I have no problem. What I want you to do is go ask your mom how she feels about it. I just wanted to make sure that we're all part of that process, you know, as far as label, because he felt just calling by my first name was disrespectful. That was his thought, because he seen how I was raised and everybody, how we had the household. So he was like, no, I want to call you Pop. You know, he has his dad. Even though his dad wasn't his life, but he still reserved that one right to give him that, call him that. You know, despite his father was ever around. And like yourself, Brother Ed, I chose not to talk about his father. I would not allow nobody to talk bad about his father. mm-hmm. and vice versa. Mm-hmm. You know, so in our households, the same rule applies. You know, you got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
to your father,
right.
to your mother. You know, my son's mother. You know, they have their relationship. I never talk bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
I never do. I'm biting my tongue right now. I never
mm-hmm.
did. But I always told them, listen, that's still your mom, still show utmost respect. You know, regardless. And now, you know, we have a decent relationship. You know, when it comes to our son, we have a real good relationship. And I'm trying to teach that to my kids because I want them to teach it to their kids as they get older because I want to break that curse. That stuff that I grew up with wasn't right, and I want to try to teach it to my children. I'm hoping that this talk show tonight can talk to some of our young people and how to communicate
mm-hmm.
with one another instead of always fighting with your baby mother. Oh, this guy no good or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so you guys are talking about some things about relationships and, I guess, the baby mama drama, the baby daddy drama. It's kind of hitting that home for me.
Mm.
The drama comes in when we want to use the kids as pawns and we want to use the kids
mm.
to get back at the other one. And that's why baby mama, which really could be a cute little term, definitely is not. And so the thing is, if you are not with this person, whatever you guys did or whatever happened, you laid there, you spread them, and now you have a baby, you've got to
wow.
think about that child first. Talking
mm-hmm.
bad about the other parent, like we said before on the show, that's going to come back to bite you. You're not supposed
mm-hmm.
to do that. And
mm-hmm.
in Georgia, because where I got my divorce at, in the state of Georgia, it's in the divorce decree. It clearly states you cannot say anything derogatory about the other parent in front of the child. You can take them
really?
Back to court on that.
Really?
The worst thing I've ever said about my ex-husband is raggedy daddy. And that's not something I never said the whole time we were married. Because I would be like, go tell your raggedy daddy. I said, come here. I still say that. He used to do things that work my nerves. Feed my kids doggone cupcakes for freaking breakfast. I'm going to say something about that. But, I mean, that's
wow.
like the only thing I've ever said about him. And you just can't do it. And you shouldn't do it. You should have more respect for yourself because think about it. Your kids are going to say crazy stuff to you if they're anything like mine because I'll say something like, you're your father's child. And they remind me, you married him.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
yeah.
Good point.
yeah.
So if you're saying if you're saying that oh, your mama's
uh-huh.
a no good whore or whatever,
uh-huh.
you slept with a whore. That makes
yeah.
you a whoremonger. Hello.
Yeah.
I've had to put that mirror up on several people all the time, man. I've seen people. As a matter of fact, that was one of my thoughts of the days several months ago. It was a young lady who I saw them. They were booed up, loving each other, kissing and whatever. And when they broke up, she talked about how dirty he is. He don't wash. He don't like to brush his teeth, whatever. I said, so... You've been with him for how long? She was like 2 years off and on. So you was with a dirty person that doesn't wash and doesn't brush their teeth. So what? How clean are you? And
exactly.
She didn't want to talk. She didn't want to talk to me. She, as a matter of fact, she left the company that I haven't seen her since. because she didn't think about that. Hey, I'm okay with that. Because I can't stand people that try to talk down to, about somebody when you were the one that was with that person. That was your choice.
Mm.
And you went as far as opening your legs, whatever, or going up in somebody that you're going to talk junk about. So you didn't feel too bad about it, especially to go up in them raw.
Exactly.
Why
to
go up in them raw?
You produce a child, so you damn
so
sure can't deny it.
So you threw the cards to the side for that dirty cooch. Way to go.
So,
you're smart.
But, and I still agree with you. But you really, it says a whole lot about you and your character when you start
exactly.
talking about the people that you've laid down with. Okay,
mm-hmm.
you have no morals. You have no character. Apparently, you're nasty, too.
Exactly.
So why do this to
yeah.
this child? And if two nasty people got together, what's the child going to think about themselves? Dad called mama a whore. Mama called dad a dog.
Like
I can't be nothing but a whore.
Yeah,
you know,
but
I'm a product of my family. So think about when you're saying things about this other person that you decided to have a baby with, whether they wanted to have you and the baby or not,
exactly.
think about what your kids are thinking about, too.
Exactly. So how did you feel about her when you were in her Krabby Patty, Daddy?
I mean, seriously, it's just like, that's my baby mama. So now you have a junior whore to raise? What's really
exactly.
going on?
Yep. You know, to look just like mom.
And act just like mom. And you know what? When you start talking about them other parents, that's what them damn kids act like.
End up like, yep.
Yep. The same one you're talking about. That's right. That's right. Now I'm gonna Krabby Patty. That's funny.
I'm gonna talk about the subject now in this baby mama and baby daddy drama. Now I know it's close to SIG. I think we talked about child support at some point. Then we kind of briefly touched on it. I know it's a big thing with you. I know before you was like, don't get me started.
You guys know what? Child support. I swear for God, they ought to make that accountable by the damn penny like they do Social Security when you somebody's damn paid.
And
this is what I don't understand. This is what I don't freaking get. You need this much money in child support so you can pay rent. Where the fuck were you going to live? Excuse me, before? Who was paying your rent then?
Now, this comes from women. Now, listeners, please understand this.
And then you talking about, okay, I done gave you $659.74 child support this morning. You called me to tell me Ray needs some goddamn shoes. You better find it in the $659.
I'm sorry.
Because if I got to pay child support and I got to buy every damn thing, give me my child. That child support drives me up the proverbial wall. It does not take all that extra money from somebody else to raise that child. What is your contribution?
Now,
child support,
I'm
escrow account from both parents, and somebody else should pay out the child's bills. That's just the way it should be.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, let me ask you, because I know everybody's in different states, and Tom, and it's drunk strikes a nerve. Now, in child support, they're very quick to report when you're not paying your child support. You know, they're very quick to do that, and it goes on your credit. Why is it that you have the fathers or the mothers that's paying the child support consistently? Why can that be also reported to the credit bureaus? Because my understanding, they told me, and I quote, that child support will always be a negative. No matter what you do, then you're paying, it will always reflect as a negative on your credit. Always.
It will, because it's taken away from your income. And depending on what state you are, it's taken away. At least it could take away up to 25-33% of your income. So it's going to...
That is
your
bananas.
Your income is going to look a lot lower than what you make, because you're paying $1 million each month in child support to this wife that don't need
it. I'm sorry. I had to drop a bomb on that one. I'm sorry.
Child support rubs me the wrong freaking way. It just rubs me
way. That's my fault. Because I want our women listeners to hear it. This is coming from a woman.
And then I can't say it enough. If you get her pregnant and she tell you that famous lie, oh, I still want my baby, I don't want nothing from you, don't believe the hype. Screw PMS. Women wake up and be in bitch mode when they want to. They can talk themselves into bitch mode. They can look at a TV and don't like what happened in their favorite program, and you're going to be in child support court.
You're absolutely right.
It's true. And you don't just give her cash. You never give her cash, and you can't give anything to the child. You could give your child $1 million a month to that child. Guess what? That's not child support. That's a gift to your child. You got to give it to the wife. Give it to her by check or money order so you have a paper trail.
No, I agree. Child support is also a rip-off. At the same time, it does help maintain money coming in and hold certain men accountable. Because some men, if they don't get it taken out, they're not going to give it out. And I'm just being honest. And that's what, unfortunately, that deadbeat dad syndrome kicks in on. You know, you have some men that don't want to man up and
give it to
them.
And I get that. But you know what? You know what I don't like? It just bugs me, especially in the state of North Carolina. And I hate the fact that women have all the rights. They have all the rights. I have the right to remain silent, have the right to get an abortion, have the right to have this child. Wait, I told you I didn't want no kids. You got pregnant on purpose. And the law says you can abandon that child and nothing will happen to you. It takes an act of freaking Congress for a man to sign away his parental rights. That's bullshit. And why? Because the law says we don't want to make children bastards. Let me see. A missing dad is not as bad as a woman who spread her legs, got pregnant by me, dropped me out, and then dropped my ass off at the fire station. I got some questions for her. And she gets to just walk away scot-free. never giving my daddy a chance to say, oh, wait a minute, I think I want to keep my child. And they can lie about it, never prosecute for it. Bullshit, the laws need to change.
I think that law is in a lot of states. Tom, but you want to chime in on this one, brother? I know the child support and our brothers and just. Tom, you with us?
Yeah. You know, I think that a couple of great points were brought up, especially that one thing we need to say is that if you're going to be in a child's life, you should be there to raise it, do what you should for it, do everything you can for that child. And support. I mean, anyone who's using child support for anything other than supporting the child
good point.
Needs to stop. Simply put.
No, and that's to the point.
I think that's all I really have to say.
Hell, that's straight to the point. I mean, could someone please help me? Fuck daddy's money. What are you paying? Like 3-5 G's a month?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 or 5 G's a month. 5 G's. That's one child. That's not including the other child that they have. I just don't understand this. How these
I don't like the fact that it's based on the amount of money that you make.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think it's ridiculous.
And I think
it should be a set fee, and if that person is balling out of control, they hopefully they'll be convicted and go ahead and spend that extra 5 years on their kids a month. But I don't think they should have to write this check out to Sally Spreado Eggs every freaking month because that's how much they're worth.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right.
I think that child support should be paid. If I ran the world, I would make it so that child support, all the money had to go into some kind of account where a card was given to the wife or the baby's mother or the baby's father, because there are single parent fathers out there that are collecting child support too. And I think that it should be an itemized bill showing what stores that the transactions were used for to keep in a hold and an understanding as to what that money is being utilized for so they can see that Prada has nothing to do, adult Prada shoes and adult Gucci whatever has nothing to do, or men's Tim's and all this stuff has nothing to do with my child that's 5 years old. Who was a male or a female born. So I personally think that there should be some kind of card system or whatever where it shows the itemized bill as to where the money or the funds have been spent so that people can see where the money's going to so that people will truly use it as child support as opposed to my support.
Now, I'm totally with you on this one and the child support aspect. That shit is a great idea. You gotta write that one down. Optimization, but you know the argument is, well, I use my own money, so that money's entitled to me. I mean, I know us all being parents. You know what I'm saying? People don't tell you, well, I spent my money. That money's mine. You know what I'm saying? These are arguments I hear.
You know, and that's all bullshit. You know what they should do if they really feel like they spent their own money? I actually keep a log of what you spend on your child each month.
Now you're asking too much.
Actually, well, you know, see, I can say this because I kept a log because I told my kids I want them to pay me some money back. I have a running log of what they owe me. But
optimization, what's that?
But, I mean, you keep a log of what you spend on your child each month. You know, you see the commercial and they go, your $20 will feed a family of four. And you're going, how the hell do I do that here in the States? How do I do that?
Can I send my family
over there, but I'm paying Susan Spreado Eggs $650 a month for one child. They're feeding the whole family for $20. I need for her to move. Can you move your ass to the country right there so we can reduce my damn child support? Because I don't understand. And they even going to school and getting vaccinations. Whoever's budgeting their money needs to give a class.
You know what? I like that, right? What you just said. Now, they offer all these parenting classes, quote-unquote, how to raise a child, and domestic violence classes for these couples that go through it. But what about financial classes for these parents that not managing any money, especially the young parents, You're giving, you know, this kid or whatever, whoever's paying child support, they should still offer financial. Listen, this is what you should spend it for your kid. This is what you should, some type of budget. Teach them how to create a budget. what an itemization.
Oh, everybody needs to go through that anyway. And they need to not only go through the class, they need to have to be made to apply the principles. You know, because you have these mandatory classes, and I'm one. I have mandatory class I have to take. And I get through the class, I take the test. But if you ask me anything the next day, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? I took the test already. So that's the way people treat parenting. If you make somebody go to a parenting class, they're not going to remember shit. They're going to remember enough to take the test and get the hell out of there. But they need to be forced to apply the principles, and some follow-up would need to be done to make sure that it's being applied. Seriously. And that's me taking professional continuation classes, and I swear if you ask me about the next day, I got to Google it. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Is that what the seminar was about? I was in there online playing. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You know what? No,
seriously. They know. Ask me a question. I go, I'm sorry, what? What did you say? And I'm looking at somebody next to me going, what the hell are y'all? Because I don't know. I'm a little lost right now.
I knew that's like an Achilles heel for you. I know you can't stand the child support thing because I love to hear your passion about it. It's crazy because you're a woman talking about it.
Because, you know, I started out when I started meeting people that were from North Carolina and they were telling me about this situation and that situation. And I'm like, North Carolina don't give a damn about the dads. They don't care who you are, what your status was. They just want all your damn money and your kids.
Oh, Jersey ain't too far from there. Jersey's not too far.
It's pathetic. And I'm going, no, you know, this is what you do. You don't, you know what, don't get a female attorney. Every man thinks a female attorney is going to help them in domestic cases. They're not. They're bitches. They bleed every month. Get a man, preferably a man that had to pay child support at one point in his life. You will win.
Oh,
what?
My God.
Because, okay, women, I'm not going to lie, I have a soft spot for women. If you get in the right moment and you tell the right story, you're like, oh, poor girl, you love her. This why ain't you lying?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Wow.
Seriously,
wow.
I mean, it's bad enough you're going to run the risk of standing before a female judge whose husband left her for a younger woman with bigger breasts, so you might want to get you a man in there to help you out. The testosterone level is not going to be even in that courtroom.
Wow. Wow.
Gentlemen,
are you listening to this?
You cannot battle estrogen.
I think we just lost brother. Okay, what's the name?
Tom.
Had to hang up with us. Okay, Tom had to hang up real quick. He had to go real fast. But, sick.
What?
Damn.
That's real talk.
I had to tell this guy. He was like, if you're getting ready to retire, can't you just take a couple of domestic cases? You don't want to be a man with a woman sitting next to you in that courtroom. Especially not me, because the judge really finding who I am and don't like me that much. You need a man. A man to dress like a man. You need a man. Not a woman that can have a man's attitude.
Oh,
you need
I heard you
a man.
A man dressed like a man.
Yeah, because I know this one attorney, he's my friend. Hey, boo. But he's cool, though. But he got these moments. And I just kind of look at him like, can you grab the balls when you say that? We're in court.
No, yeah, that's another topic that Brother Dial is going to go in. You know, he's designed to talk about
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
But that's in the news. We'll talk about that in a minute. But,
why is it society only got
this listing already? Deadbeat dads. There's a bunch of deadbeat mothers out here.
Yes.
Like you said earlier, say, they open their legs, they're dropping kids off, or dumping the kids in their dumpsters. They're doing all kind of craziness, smoking weed, smoking cigarettes while I was pregnant. I mean, go figure. I mean, but the men, they get murdered. Murdered. As soon as they don't pay a bill, but the mother is sleeping with Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Raheem, and Sharif, and yet the dad,
exactly.
Oh, he's paying no child support. It kills me.
Exactly. I mean, look at the little stupid Jerry Springer, Maury Povich shows. That cracks me up. Oh, he's not the dad. He's not the dad. He's not the dad. When y'all going to call her a whore? Quit talking about them. When y'all going to call her a whore?
It's on the news. They have these roundups. They put it on the damn news in the newspapers in various states as far as going to pick up all these deadbeat dads, and they put their face out there. But what about the mothers? You know, come on. You can't live off of child support.
get a damn job. Nothing wrong with you. You're on Facebook and Twitter and showing your booty, and you're in the club, you know, twerking and whatever the hell the terminology is. I mean, it murders
me. The kids eat McDonald's every day. They don't know how to cook. You wear your daughter's shirt to the club. You right.
You're like, hey. Exactly.
And then when the kids get older and realize my mom is retarded and I really need to find a replacement for her, you want to know why they talk to you like that? And then you want to call up dad and try to be decent after you try to ruin him all that time and say, you need to come get your son. He needs a father. No, he just needs a damn parent at this point because you're not her.
Now you call the father to play cleanup, and the father... And like you said earlier, going back to you said earlier, is the person you pick. You didn't pick Pookie from the hood to be the baby daddy. Cause so you're trying to go to him for male advice? Come on now. This is the person you picked. And this kid is all now confused, like, man, I got no leadership here. Somebody got to go.
None.
Mommy's just...
He's like, okay, Timmy, where's mommy? She's in there in the bed with Ray Ray so we can have dinner. Really?
Oh, no, that's Uncle Ray Ray. I'm sorry, that's Uncle Ray Ray. Remember the
Uncle Ray Ray. Oh, yeah.
Uncle Ray Ray, that's right. Uncle Ray Ray. Oh, my God. My mom has all these uncles that come back. I have the best family.
Everybody has an uncle. She does not have that many brothers.
Oh,
this world has
goodness.
No brothers.
Yeah, funny tonight.
No, because it's true.
Come on. Uncle Ray Ray. Uncle, he was white yesterday.
Oh, man.
And Uncle Ricky and Uncle Gonzalez, and yes, Uncle Billy and Uncle Bob, too. And I thought Billy and Bob were brothers. Oh, yeah, because they're both my uncles. Yeah, right. Your mom's a whore.
Oh, Auntie was at the house, too. She's in the same bed.
Yeah.
My mom has a special friend.
She had two friends in the house. She had three friends.
Have you eaten yet, Timmy? No, they're in there. They're doing adult wrestling in the bedroom, and I'm supposed to wait till they finish.
Well, mommy got me hot dogs. Took me out a bowl of hot dogs.
Lord
have
mercy.
But I mean, this is what's happening. I mean,
crazy.
Come on now, it's real. It's true.
I know. That's why I'm letting her rule something.
I'm serious. Those little kids that you see outside early in the morning, every freaking day, something not right on going on in the house.
Thank you. And then what kills me, oh, my God. I mean, and I know it happens down there, too. You hear about kids getting shot, right? All right, a kid, an 11 or a 10-year-old got shot, hurt. What time they got hurt? Oh, it was at 12 o'clock midnight, or it was 10, or it was 1 in the morning. What the hell? I got to say, excuse my language.
What
the fuck is your kid doing outside? what is a 10-year-old doing at 10 o'clock at night outside? What the fuck is he doing? Excuse my language. I know we got some passes. Please forgive me, guys, but y'all got to keep it real. And I'm taking with you. You know, we are so quick to put these bad labels over a lot of our men, and some, unfortunately, ladies, stop using that as an excuse, you know, because you hear society and you jump on the bandwagon, oh, men are no good. No, stop. Look at your goddamn self. Make the decisions that you're making and what you're doing. And listen to Sister Sage right here. You know, that's the most strongest woman you're going to run into. And she's keeping it real with some of you guys out here. You know,
women have been the bane of man's existence since Eve. Eve really pissed me off. Because of Eve, women have to have a period every month. Childbirth is painful as hell. And then we got to wear clothes. That's my biggest issue with her. We got to wear clothes. She screwed it up. As much as I love to shop, I'd rather be naked. But then we're going to go one step further. And this is why they kicked me out of the sisterhood, and I really don't care. Because men, little boys, they revere their moms. They love the women in their life. And all they can think is, I'm going to grow up, I'm going to find this woman, I'm going to fall in love with her, I'm going to take care of her, because that's what men do. That's what my mom and my grandmother and my uncles and everybody told me that men do. And then they find his wife, and they fall in love with her, and she's using him while she's sleeping with Jose.
soul.
And then his heart is broken. His heart is broken.
And he turned into a dog.
And men fall, and they fall hard as hell. Y'all are the worst people in the world when it comes to heart. Women can say, I love you every fucking day of the week. Men are not going to do it. They fall, and they fall hard. So when this wife breaks his heart, after he thought she was the one, and he, in his mind, he has his whole life planned. He may not be like her, writing all over his damn notebook and telling everybody, she's the one, she's the one. But he's thinking this. I love her. This is my woman. I don't care what my boys say. I love her. You sleeping with Jose, you skank. You broke his heart.
Hey.
It's not that he's going to be a dog. It's just that he's going to now fuck without emotion. Nobody's getting that close. It's going to take that one woman that's going to have patience. Not nag him, that knows how to be a true woman, to nurture him back to health before he can even begin to really truly like her, much less fall in love with her. She's got to invest her time to fix the shit that you broke. So women calling men dogs, bitches, you made them that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why they kicked me out of the sisterhood.
I concur, but it's on both sides, man. I concur. I definitely concur.
But it's on both sides.
It's definitely on both sides. It's girls that are like that, and it's guys that are like that. But I'm definitely a product of that. I've always, all my life, I've always wanted to be married with children. And all my girlfriends, my first three that I was like really, really into, they cheated on me. And I got to that point. I was like, y'all, and that's where my whole looking at things the way that I do was like it's an individual thing. It's not a male or female thing. That's where all that came from, because I found myself saying all women are trifling, all women they do men dirty and all that stuff. So you know what? I'm going to do it before they do it to me. I'm going to do it to them. And I was a whore for a long time.
Dresses with a title.
Yes, I took the title. But I was open with it. And I was just honest with it, and I never allowed anybody to get close, just like you said. And I was just terrible. And me with my mindset, it's not hard for me to manipulate a person's mind or mental. I took advantage of that, and I knew what females want. I knew that in their mind that their little cooch was the best thing in the world, and they would play off of that. And I don't know where they learned that from, but
I would play off of that,
and I would say, yeah, I got a girlfriend, but you could be number two. The best you could be is number two, but this is my main. This is my main one, and I knew in their minds they think, okay, you think I could be number two until I give you this, and they'll give it to me, and they'd be the ones to fall in love or whatever. And I pull out them cards and said, no, I told you what it was. Now if you mess this up, this is gone, and you won't have none of me. So you make a decision, and they kept and they played the role. They played the role, and I played the role.
They could change you.
Exactly.
Because women
think
if I spread my legs or give him some head, I can change him. Because I got the best pussy in the world, and I got the best head game in the world. You know what? You got the best pussy while he up in it. That's going to always be the best pussy he got because he's up in it. Who wouldn't be happy with getting a freaking nut? That's the way it works. And terrible to say, if we're going to be honest, Eddie, I was the female version of you, and God only knows why, because I had this loving family, and I knew what love was and relationship was, and I was 7 years old telling my parents, you know, I think marriage should be contract. I think you should renew it every 6 months. You should decide if you want to stay married to the same person. And my parents looked at me and went, what the hell have you been reading now? Like, renew it every 6 months. And I went into life that way, and I would tell people, no, you're not my boyfriend. You just think you are. Feel free. You know, whatever. You be my boyfriend when I needed an escort to go somewhere because I don't go nowhere by myself. And I was worse than Eddie because I told everybody I was living with somebody and I was living by my damn self. Everybody I was dealing with thought they were the other person. There was no main person.
I had my main girlfriend pictures up and everything. They had to deal with that. They had to look at her.
Oh, no. See, I was living with him, so you couldn't come to my house because he's really big and he's mean. I wouldn't want you to get beat up or killed. She went home to her condo by her damn self. I was terrible. I was treacherous. I would stroke a male ego, and then I was really good. I perfected it. I would let men think they broke up with me.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Be like, oh, I know I'm just like not the one for you, and I'm just not ready for marriage, and I don't want to have any kids. I was talking about I couldn't have kids. You know, I'm barren. I can't have kids. You know, I'm doing. If you look at me hard enough, I get pregnant. But I can't have kids, and whatever it took to get rid of you because you were getting too close.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Like,
I wasn't
this
good
motherfucker want to be in love? No, we ain't got time for love. Damn, you can't just have fun. I thought me and you like to have fun. I kept running to people that wanted to be in love and married.
Say, did you leave the money on the table for him at least?
Oh, you know what? No, I did that to this guy. I really did. Because, no, we were out, and then I made him leave his car, and I was like, he's going to have to go get his car. I might as well let him go in the taxi. So I left a $100 bill, put a little note. That was the worst phone call ever. I am not your whore. And I was like, but I thought you were.
Wow.
Was $100 not enough? Do I need to bring you some more?
Now, like I said, I was the whore. I was collecting. I got paid for my services. My bills
you know
paid.
What?
Okay,
you know what?
Hold on, that's my mom's fault. Because my mom, she said,
your mom, you're pointing to your mother?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. I take everything literally. If y'all listen to me, if you use words, I use your words literally. I'm always literal. So
me too.
My mom said, you have all these girls coming in here, you gambling your stuff in here, and you're not getting nothing for it. She said, you're gambling your, she said, you know what she said, off every night, got all these different women up in here, and you get nothing for it. That makes no sense or whatever. And I was like, you know what? You're right. So from that point on, I was intentional with who I picked and what I got from them and everything.
I get to blame my mom, too, because my mom was a powerhouse businesswoman. I went to work with her, and her thing was, you always be the boss. You always be in control. You own them. You never let anybody own you. You pay for your own. You never depend on anybody else. So I paid for the dick I wanted. I will take you shopping. And I will buy you something nice, and that meant you had to have sex with me. That's why if I take you to dinner, we fucking, because I spent money on you. That's what that's about.
Hold on. You took him out. You fed him, clothed him, dressed him, and took him on his way. Wait a minute. Hold up.
I got to get to my boys, man. I can't wait to hear the rest of the archives of this show. Y'all be
safe.
Oh, my
God.
No, I love y'all.
We're going to chop it up a little bit more because me and Sid, we're going to close this out. We're going to close the podcast.
All right. Okay.
Sid, you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Y'all be safe. Thank you.
Once again, brother Edward L. Fairley is in this building, but he got to go handle the kids. Love you, man.
Love you too, baby. Go ahead. Have fun.
All right, y'all. Hey, y'all doing something.
Woo! No,
Sid, oh my God!
Electric.
You were on fire.
I was terrible. And you know what it was? My brothers were trying to find women and have relationships and be in love, and I was terrible. I was like, why you gotta do that? Have you looked at yourself in here? You ain't gotta fall in love with nobody. Damn, wear a condom, keep it moving. I was terrible. And my dad used to say, we'll have to pay somebody to marry you. Is there a reason why you won't? Daddy, please, don't have time. And my whole thing was, it was about my career. And I was in that stage where people try to tell you, you can't have a career. You can't be a powerhouse. You can't run the firm and have a relationship, too. And you can't have it all. And instead of trying to prove that I could have it all, I decided I was going to have fun while I was having my selfish time. And that's what I decided to do. And it was the worst thing in the world. And so, and then people would be, and I used to look at my mom and go, oh, my God, my mom was a powerhouse. And I thought she had too much freaking power at work. And I was like, this woman shows up in the whole atmosphere of the room change. I told my dad, somebody needs to dethrone her. And he was like, what? I did. I told him, I said, Mom, one day somebody's going to get you. Everybody's not scared of you, woman. Everybody's not scared of you. And when my dad retired, I went to the retirement ceremony. Uh-huh. And we were announcing I was taking over the firm. And when I walked into the auditorium, everything changed. My dad looked at me and goes, that power your mom had, you have it. It wasn't power. It was respect, Sig. Do you get it? It was respect.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay. But when I decided that it's time to grow up, put on my big girl panties and have a real relationship, I did, and then people that knew me from before was like, there's no way, because people get shocked when I go, I'm submissive in a relationship. And guys, I used to, they go, no, the hell you're not. Look, dude, we were not in a relationship. I was buying you. I was renting you out. I wasn't trying to have you and keep you. I treated you the way I did for a reason. I was terrible. I was treacherous.
You told a man that you rented him out?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I'm really not for crushing the male ego because my dad will get me for that. But don't try to call me out in public while I have on 6-inch heels and a formal dress. So with a pretty smile on my face, I'm going to tell you what I thought of you at the time, and I'm not going to be stroking your ego, and I'm not going to make you feel good about yourself. And for me, I tell everybody, they drew first blood. I was minding my business.
I mean, you was honest in what you did. You was real. But when a man does that, they betrayed in such a bad light. Oh, he's a dog. And that's when they part of the baby daddy drama or just all that, the deadbeat,
but you know,
no good dog, all the following listed.
the only thing, and I'm not going to lie, the only thing that kept me from having a bad reputation or being this person other than being a corporate bitch was the fact that I was who I was and I did what I did. And I was at this level. Now, had I been an everyday person, I'd have been the worst woman in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they would have seen it. But to be who I was and doing what I was doing, and if you wanted to do business with me, you had to do business my way. And if I decided I was going to rent you for the night, that meant I was renting you for the night.
Damn. Now, we gotta swing this topic now. I mean, for those just listening, you know, listen to the Man Up show right now. We got the first lady, Miss Signature Black, holding it down with yours, Mr. Nash. And, you know, we're gonna close it out. We're gonna have fun with this one because I don't get the opportunity to be with the lovely Miss Signature, and we just chop it up. But you said something. You said something that's it's kind of, now you got my eyebrow raised up. You have a woman that, you know, you're a woman, you did what you did. Now, you get a different respect. Now, let's say a woman who's not as on your level, who don't have money, don't have that career, but she does the same thing with limited resources. Is it a difference how she's portrayed in society?
It depends. You know, everything is about presentation. It's the difference between being a whore and a call girl or a whore and an escort. If I had to choose another profession, as much as I like to have sex, and thank God my man already knows this, I would have to be an escort because you get to get a nut and you get paid for it and you live the high life. And as opposed to just being a whore, you know, spreading your legs for a Happy Meal, I'm not going to do that. And there's no way I would do that. At the same time, being on the other side of that, the person who paid for what I wanted in life, I wasn't buying Happy Meals either. I was buying prime rib. And so it's all in presentation. You can do what you're going to do if you present it properly. And the biggest thing that people don't understand, especially women that don't get, own you. Own who you are. Don't have the different layers of you and even your different little personalities don't know one another. Everything about me, all of me knows it. Anybody that has spent 15 minutes talking to me other than in a courtroom, they know she's got some issues. She'll talk about sex with a hello. And she'll stop the law off to you in a heartbeat. And it's no secret. My kids even know how I am. My kids will tell their friends, don't stand next to my mom. She's at a computer. You don't know what she's looking at. You don't know what she's typing.
You may
be surprised and shocked.
The kids know that?
Yes, my kids will say, my mom has issues. And like when something happens and something pops off and we're in some room full of people, my kids always look at me and go, behave, 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 behave. And people would say, why do y'all do that to her? Because you never know what she's going to say. Like, she opens her mouth and she engaged tongue, and believe it or not, she thought about it first, and it just doesn't seem like she did. But there's no secrets to me to who I am. I know who I am. I know what I want in life. I know what I'm going to do. I'm like Eddie. I'm an open book. I'm very private, but I don't have secrets. If you ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. You may not like my answer, but it's my answer. People have a tendency to want to think, okay, if I run a company, if I run a corporation, I can't have any sexuality about me. I can't have any personality about me. I can't act like I love my kids to pieces. I love the fact that I chose the profession that I did because I do have kids. There's no way I need for my kids to be able to come to my job. Kids just cannot come to the strip club and hang out on the pole with you. They just don't allow that. Regardless of what you do on it, there's a lady in California. I love her. She, her husband left her with her two kids. She had no skills, no nothing, but she could work a camera. The biggest, what she did was did her research. She went into porn. She became a producer and a director. She paid for this huge-ass house. Her kids had their own cars when they turned 16 because she worked in the porn industry. She did not hide that from her kids nor her family. It was no secret in the school that her kids went to. People don't own their gym. They don't own what they do. They're so afraid of judgment, so afraid the masses are not going to approve of me. Screw the masses. Life is more comfortable and more fun, and you achieve more if you just be you. But first, you got to look in the mirror and like that person you see in the mirror. You've got to prove that person you see in the mirror. That's why I think anybody on any level, regardless of what the financial situation or your status is, depending on, you can do anything you want to do to your level if you present it properly. And you own it. Don't hide it. Don't try to act like you're not or you don't or whatever. And I want to make sure I clear something up. When I was thinking that, oh, I can't have a family, I can't have a husband, I can't have everything. Yes, you can, women. If you want to be married and you want to be successful and you want to have kids and a dog and a picket fence, you can have all that. It requires work. It's good work if you marry the right person. Don't just marry anybody. Don't get married for money. Don't get married for status or position.
Good point.
Marry somebody that you love, that loves you, and you guys are on the same level. You can do anything you want together.
Mm, good point. Definitely good point. You may have to reiterate that to some people. I think that people equate a successful marriage with having a lot of money. Or, you know, I'm marrying him because he has a lot of money. That can equate to a good relationship. I mean, I'm glad you're talking about it.
Prenup. That equates to a good prenup.
Wow.
When you come to the table with nothing and he's coming to the table with everything, he's going to make you sign a prenup in this day and age, especially if he's ever ran into me. He's going to make you sign a prenup because you're not bringing to the table what he's bringing to the table. So you got to think about that. You've got to see how much you value yourself. You've got to worry about your self-esteem. There's enough of me to be me and who I am. That you need to accept me and love me for me, not what I got.
Wow,
and understand that I love you for you and not what you have.
Oh, I want to while we're on this topic, when you're talking, I want to give a quick shout out to Miss Diamond D. Miss Diamond D also has a talk show. She's also a follower of what we're doing. You know, she knows that we have the First Lady of the Man Up Show. Jake, I'm gonna try to arrange for you to be on the show to call and talk with her. She's very opinionated.
Love that.
Opinionated, but in a very smart way. So big shout out to Diamond D and her future husband, Mr. Jay Hunter. They
look
are
forward to that
show. Yeah, Diamond
opinionated.
D. She's very opinionated. She has no problem.
That's a good thing. If people think, oh, women are supposed to be seen and not heard and we're second-class citizens, only if you want to be. If you have an opinion, speak up. You don't have to act like a male to do it.
But you
just give your opinion and keep it moving.
Maybe they have an opinion, but then they talk about facts that they don't even know about. They take the time to research, so they're just running off of the mouth. What do you call it? Diarrhea of the mouth is the term?
Yes.
Some women,
and if you do that,
and
I'm in the room with you, I'm going to stop you on that. I am a researching fool, and me being a smartphone for people like me that just want to prove a point. Hey, what you just said was so totally wrong. Back up. Let's discuss that statistic you just gave. I tell people all the time, if you're talking to me and you spout statistics, be careful. That was my favorite class. I'm going to look your numbers up. You better be right. And I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to check your numbers for 5 years back. So you better be, one of those years better hit your number so I can say, well, maybe you didn't go far enough in your research. But if you be totally off about it, I'm going to get you.
Wow.
That's just me. That's just the way I am. I take things literal. I'm like, Eddie, I'm a super nerd. People find it hard to believe I'm the world's biggest nerd. I've read dictionaries and encyclopedias for the fun of it. It's what I do.
Listen, let me tell some of the listeners who just don't understand. You know, you're on the Man Up Talk Show. We have a First Lady of the Man Up Show, and we love her immensely. You call on the show, you listen, trust me. You cannot come at SIG in no way possible. This woman is highly intelligent, highly smart, and she's very real.
That's why we love her as much as we do. I mean, you can't come to the table with something wrong. I mean, I watched some of the texts that came in today about the topic, about the baby mama drama, the angry mothers, oh, menness. I mean, so angry at the men, but then yet there was not one point that anyone took accountability for their own actions. Not one point. You picked
you
this man.
To...
you picked him. You opened your legs to this cat.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, okay, like I tell my kids, okay, so I married him, but I got smart and divorced him. I should have gave you to him. But, I mean, we had those discussions in our family all the time. Go with your mother. Go with your father. But, but the thing is, it's important that you don't forget that no matter what happened, if you weren't alone in that act, if you are not asexual reproductive and you're not,
mm-hmm.
you was with that person for at least that nut.
Right, exactly.
And something was working right at that moment. And so you can question your own judgment. You can say you made a mistake by being with that person. Oh, well, get over it. Life goes on. For some whatever reason, you two are not doing that to kids.
You know, I'm
let
glad
that kid
you said
have a fighting chance.
And you know, I don't know if have you had an opportunity to watch the Oprah Winfrey Network? I'm meant to it, fellas. I checked it out because some of the shows are good.
I'm gonna admit, I don't watch Oprah. I don't really watch talk shows.
Well, it's not a talk show. It's she has her own station. It, she has some called Life Lessons. She had
big up to her, but I don't do anything she does.
Well, T.D. Jakes was on there. He was talking about Life Lessons.
Okay, and I'm gonna say this: I don't like T.D. Jakes.
What? How you gonna like the man?
I don't like T.D. Jakes. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was something that happened one day, and I was in one of those moods, and I looked and went, what the hell did he just say? Hold up. And I wasn't able to have a one-on-one conversation at that moment about it, and I just put him in my, I don't think I like him, pal.
He says some things that's very thought-provoking. I mean, I get you. I understand that. I mean, to each his own. I mean,
everybody has those moments. Everybody can say something that'll make you think, and I will give them credit for that, and I will be honest, and I'm wrong, and I will admit when I'm wrong. I have not given T.D. Jakes a fair chance.
Well,
so now that you said that on the air, I've got to go back and check him out.
Now listen, I'll be honest. Usually, honestly, there's something that may catch me, and if it catches me, I'm going to pay attention to it. He was talking about something, relationship between a father and a child and a mother and that father. He said this, and it just rang over and over again. He says, just because you didn't have a good relationship with that man, do not take that away from the child. Because if he wasn't good for you, does not mean that he's not going to be good for that child.
I
and when he said that,
that
it just rang at home. And it made me listen to him more. Just because he said that. Because a lot of times I hear, your daddy's no good. Well, first of all, because you and him didn't get along, how about give him an opportunity?
And a lot of times, I really got to check out T.D. Jakes because you signed off on him. I've got to check him out. And what he said is true, because I think that my ex-husband is the worst husband for anybody. And I used to tell women that he was a good husband for somebody, just wasn't me. Well, now he's on wife number five after me. I really think he's not a good husband for anybody.
Whoa, wife number five?
Yeah, after me, and I was wife number two.
Hey.
He has this thing about being married, and he just can't seem to get it right. Well, if you're going to be the world's biggest whore this side of Mars, you're not going to stay married anyway. As a dad, that's
okay.
No secret. He knows I say that about him. I tell him it all the time. I was like, "Your wife number what? Dude, just close to the core. Stay single."
Jeez.
But as a dad, when we got a divorce and he said, "You've always had the kids. You've made all the sacrifices. I like to give you a break." And at the time, it was perfect because I was doing a lot of flying around the country and the world for my clients. And
mm-hmm.
So he was like, I want to be the full-time parent. Can they live with me? Are you kidding me? Hell yes. Take them.
Hold on, you said hell yes? You didn't think twice?
No, because, okay, first of all, he cheated. He went and had a house built and put everything in it that they wanted, and he sold them the house first. So if I would have said no, I would have been an evil parent. And so,
mm-hmm.
But then he was right. But he was right because he had gotten out the military and he had time. He opened up his own business, so he was in total control of his time. And our kids, I swear for God, if there's an after school, before school, during school activities, our kids participate.
Mm-hmm.
We were on the go 7 days a week. We didn't. Our days did not end to 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I explained to him, I said, you do know that they've got an activity every freaking day. And that's just practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have events, and then you have games. Guess what? I get to be the part-time parent. I see them every other weekend and holidays when I can make it.
Mm-hmm.
If the school calls me, you better be dead. And people were like, I can't believe you said that. I said, no, because if you ask me for full-time parent, you want to be the custodial parent, you're going to get those custodial rules. And
that's
I
right,
think, okay,
right.
This will last all of 6 months because he is a little crazy. But it was good. Now, the kids.
He could be listening to the show.
He fed my kids cupcakes for breakfast one time, and I was not happy with him. And I will never forget that because they were just bouncing off the ceiling. I'm like, what the hell?
Cupcakes for breakfast? What the hell?
They were in a hurry. He was running out of time. They had made cupcakes the night before. And he told them they could have cupcakes and milk, and that would be like having donuts or a muffin or something. Whatever he told them, it worked, and they did it. But they didn't keep secret. They told me. But they're like, Mom, Dad gave us cupcakes. I said, is that why you haven't laid down to take a nap, and that's why you're bouncing off my ceiling? But they, for the first 6 months, it was funny because our kids were thinking that he was crazy. And every time he made a decision, a major decision, they would call to check and see if he made the right decision.
No, your kids did not do that. Hold on, did he know that they were making this call?
Yeah, he knew. Because they would say, I got to call Mom.
Like, you know, hey, hold on, he didn't say, hold on. Y'all, you didn't put his foot down? Like,
No, because he could never tell me he couldn't call me. But they were, my kids have no boundaries, no fears. They're just going to tell you, I'm going to call Mom and see if you know what you're talking about. And he used to laugh. And so they would call and say, Mom, that's it, whatever. Is that true? And I'm like, okay, I got to tell you guys that dad divorced is the same dad that you had when we were married. He always made decisions. What is the problem now? And they finally got used to him. I kept thinking it wasn't going to last. My youngest son is 16. He still lives with his dad. All the rest of them lived with him until they got out the house. And I ask him every year, are y'all still living with dad? And then they go, Dad wouldn't know what to do without us. Really? Because he asked me if he could divorce you.
What?
Yeah, because once, my mini-me. Divorce the kids. My mini-me is a handful. And he goes, you tell the kids, I told our kids I would never tell you no. If you can present an argument that's plausible and it's within my power, you can get whatever it is you ask for. So it was called put a deal on the table. Well, I didn't tell him about this. And when they went back home and he was like, he called me and said, what is this deal on the table? I said, oh, you know, there are a lot of us in the argument for these. They think faster than I do, especially Jordan. I can't keep up with him. I just say yes automatically. It's costing me money. I said, well, what you have to do is explain to Jordan what your rules for the deal is, and he'll go with that. And he was like, I'm not you. I can't debate with them. I can't go to court with them. I don't know how to do that. Because in our family, anybody can make a rule, and everybody has to follow it no matter where you are.
Right.
So he was like, I really wish. My mini runs over
I'm
him.
I'm laughing at your kids.
Yes. My kids are hilarious. They are hilarious. And
Jesus.
He was, yeah, my kids are funny because they'll go, they'll do something and they have to tell the truth because, well, they don't have good sense. I'm their mother. And they'll go, I have to talk to you about something, Mom. I need you to focus. And then other people go, why didn't I tell you that? Because I don't listen when they talk. My kids talk all the time. I have no clue what's going on sometimes. And so then we'll talk or whatever, and I always tell them, make a decision you can live with. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your life, but make a decision you can live with, one that won't make me kill you. And we're fine.
Okay. Now, I mean, let me ask you a question. You have obviously you have a great relationship with kids. It's an understanding. And they understand your relationship and what you're doing, the dad is doing, and stuff like that. Any advice for mothers out here who don't know how to have a relationship with the other party, you know, the co-parent, I call it? Because you have so many angry women out there. How do you teach them?
Okay, you
got to
stop.
Young and old?
You have to come to the conclusion that, okay, the relationship between you and him did not work. And what you should be is relieved. Because it's not going anywhere. And holding on to that anger is blocking your own blessings. And in essence, you're ruining your relationship also with your child. And you've got to remember that you're a parent. put your child first. I'm not saying go out and be their best friend. I'm not saying let them run roughshod over you or anything like that. And definitely, by no means do you allow the child to play one parent against the other. You've got to keep open communications with them. And do like I do. I tell my kids all the time, I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm making this up as we go.
Okay.
And my son that just went to the military goes, well, Mom, by now you should know. Look, you guys did not come with a manual. I don't know what to do with you. So let me have my little moments. And to be honest with them, the funniest thing that I see is when kids realize, oh, my God, my mom and dad are not superhuman. They're real human being people. They make mistakes. If you own the fact that, look, I don't know the answer to everything, and you be honest with them, they will have more respect for you than anything. They will trust you. They will come to you with stuff you don't even want them to come to you with. But they will come to you, and you will have that assurance that at least if something goes terribly wrong in their life, no matter what it is, they'll bring it to me. Because I always tell my kids, I don't care what you do, you have to tell me the whole truth. I can't help you if you only give me part of the truth. And don't tell me the story to make yourself look good. Tell me what you did.
Okay.
I
want to
hear about what anybody else did. Tell me what you did. And my kids, they know that. And they know that whereas dad will give a speech, mom's going to listen, and we're going to talk about it together. If you say something bizarre and stupid and off the wall, the worst thing I'm going to say is, what the hell? And
what the hell, exactly.
Because I'll just look at them and go, what the hell? And then that lets them know, oh, my God, that's a flag. Mom's about to go level 10 on me. And so, but just to keep the lines of communication open and just be totally honest with them. Don't make them think you can do something that you can't do. Let them know that you do have limits.
There you go. I like the fact that you gave the human factor when the mother talks to the children, let them know, hey, look, you know, I'm not perfect, or, you know, this is what's going on. I think just kids are not dumb. I mean, that's for sure as hell. Kids can pick out a phony in a minute. They, for whatever reason, they have that power, and they can see that in a minute. But, I mean, what about these angry, I'm not going to say just angry black women. How do we talk to these women? I'm going to say women first, because then I'm going to address the men. How do we address our women who's so angry with the baby fathers? They're just pissed off.
Same what you do anybody else.
He hates child support. He's not
helping. You hit them with what they're throwing out there. He's not paying child support. But is your child taken care of? Is the main thing for you to hurt him by putting a financial bind on him? Or is your child missing something? Because if they're just missing something, their resources, let me help you with that. And then we're going to apparently have to help you with how to communicate with him. Because a lot of times, men are not going to go through the drama. They're not even going to put forth the effort to, even if they have $50 or $25 or whatever they can give you. They're not going to give it to you because you're going to say something like, this is all you got. Maybe that is all he has.
But what if he's lying? I'm playing devil's advocate. You got men out here who play games all the time, especially coming to their kids. And I'm talking to these fathers. If you're listening, handle your goddamn business. You know who you are. I mean, if you're making $60,000 or $50,000 and you're just throwing $25 or $50 at your lady every 2 weeks, something wrong with you. Kill yourself.
Okay, and you're going to thank you to kill yourself. And I agree with that. But keep in mind also, parents that's not doing for their kids when you can be doing for your kids, your kids are going to know. That's going to come back to haunt you and bite you in the ass. Karma is a bitch, and she does not pay. And you have to remember that. And if the woman is, you know, people say it all the time, well, you can't talk to them. You can snatch their ass down to reality like you can anybody else. And it's a matter in your approach. Don't come at them to preach. Go at them to have a conversation and let them know there is a better way to handle your situation. And if you're just being bitter, let that shit go, because right now you're blocking your blessings. Your life will get so much better if you quit holding stuff over his head.
I love that.
And realize, and then a lot of these people that are angry that I talk to when I do group sessions or whatever, and then I always ask them, I get them in one-on-one, and I ask them a basic question. What happened when you got pregnant? And don't tell me about the sex act you used. When you got pregnant, before you got pregnant, was this discussed? When you got pregnant, was that discussed? And a lot of times what I'm finding out is you hear the men tell them, I don't want no kids, I can't afford no kids, I'm just doing my own thing in life right now. So she with them, and women think they can change a man. You cannot change a man no more than a man can make a woman stop buying shoes.
So thank you for saying that.
You can't. And so if he said, I don't want a child, and then you get pregnant on purpose, accident, whatever happened, then y'all have that conversation again. And he's like, I don't want a child. I really, you know. And then you tell him, that's okay. I want my baby. I'm going to take care of my baby myself. Then you realize even during pregnancy, that's a struggle. Being pregnant and being single out there by yourself, that's a struggle. If you have no support group or say you're in a different city than your family, that's a struggle. Then when you go to have this baby, you realize I'm in the hospital with friends and nobody that really loves me or cares about me. You decide in that hospital, he's going to pay. He told you he didn't want a baby. You told him that was okay. And then the next thing I know, here you come talking about, I'm taking him to child support court. For what?
Exactly. Now, you talking to the ladies. I want to talk to those fellas that's also listening, because, ladies, you definitely get a mouthful from one of the strong women that I know. Fellas, you know, when we say man up, we mean exactly that. Stop with excuses. Stop waiting. Oh, well, she says she's going to take care of the baby. Wake the fuck up. Excuse my language. Excuse me. Anybody that's going to be offended with cursing for the next 5 to 10 minutes, please turn it off. Get your children out the room, because I hate when a man makes excuses. Anything worse than the goddamn planet. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming the woman for your irresponsibilities. And I'm going to say that again. Brother Ed, I know you're listening, bro. I know you're going to check the archives. Brother Dow, brother, and all my brothers, y'all know how we get down. We're going to keep it real right now. Stop the bullshit. Stop putting the blame on a woman for you not asking these questions. Being responsible. Okay, I understand. There's booty calls. You're up in the spot. Y'all running through. There's heat in the moment. Things happen. It is what it is. But it's still a level of responsibility. It's still a level of responsibility asking the questions, protecting yourself. Don't rely on this woman. First of all, second guess yourself. A woman, I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to take it back to BBD. Don't trust a big butt and a smile. She's that quick to give you the ass. You need to second guess what's going down. If she's that quick to give it to you, dogs, I mean, I'm talking to the guys in the street, the big shot to Brixton Young Lemon, just got me on the text, he's talking about Naz, go in, because he knows I'm using you on the background. Listen, stop it. Stop making excuses. If she walk into the spot, she got a dress on, is all so hyped up so much, and she got the heels that she can barely walk in, and she gives you the ass on the first night, second guess. You may want to ask some questions. Because 9 times out of 10, she did this before. She ain't hurt. She knows what she's doing.
She just did it last night.
Exactly. So stop getting mad with, you know, I'm pregnant. Oh, I ain't the baby daddy. Stop it. You slept with her. You know you didn't protect yourself. Well, she said she was protecting. She was already on the pill or whatever
got an IUD or anything else. She lied.
Yes, thank you. And my ball players, professional ball players, and these young cats that's coming from the colleges going pro, wake the fuck up. They have women that's pros at getting you guys. Wake up. I'm talking about ball players. Some of you guys know, I know from North Carolina to Jersey to Georgia, you know, wake the hell up. You know, stop it. Be responsible. Ask those questions. And hey, listen, I'm not, you know, let's do this responsibly. Wake up. Man the fuck up. Because if you don't want to be put in that boat, you have to put yourself in a better situation. Ask those questions. So that 5 minutes of asking questions or having a, what I call a dialogue can help both of you guys out. And you may find out that woman may not have been a woman. She may have been a tranny.
Woo, Jesus. And then you got another situation
I'm going there because there's a lot of that fullness going on. That's another topic we'll talk about later on. Mr. C, stop it from Hot 97. Stop it, bro. Stop it. You like it, keep it real. Whatever you do, and we're going to have another topic later on about your general brother. Stop it. Stop it.
One very important thing. When my boys hit puberty, or the year before I thought they was going to hit puberty, hi, guys, guess what? Mom has a gift for you. You will keep a condom in your wallet for life. Anytime I say condom check, you better pull a fresh one out, and I'm not playing. And I'm not saying you got to use it, but I'm saying you got to change it out.
One. Thank you.
Yes.
He's a fresh one.
You have to change them out. Because, okay,
the
and then,
one?
a fresh one that you ain't had in there for 10 years because you ain't had none in 10 years. Change the motherfuckers out. I gave you a box of condoms. I expect for the box to be empty by the end of the freaking year. You need to be saying, I need a new box of condoms, Mom. But you got to protect yourself. And go one step further because women are treacherous. Once you have your good time, you dispose of your condom yourself. You take it off yourself. You flush it to damn self. You stand there and watch it go down.
Don't you put said, it in you trash. You said something funny. Can
don't
a woman
let her clean you up.
Off of that?
Yes, because she can take the condom. She can take the condom. She can freeze the sperm. She can have the sperm inserted into her later, and she can have a baby. And then your ass is out because the DNA says, boom, it's you, boo, even though you wore a condom and the condom did not break. She got you. Take care of yourself. Take care of your future. Don't let anybody make decisions for you. Make them for yourself.
Wow. Now, that's coming from a woman. Fellas, ladies, that's,
women
that's,
will tell you they're taking the pill, they're lying. That wife probably don't take them on a regular basis. She take them when she remember. A lot of people are really inconsistent with that.
When you remember.
Be like,
right,
okay.
Now, what you remember?
Be like, I really don't remember last time I took one. Be honest, did you take one or not? Oh, I've got a Mirena. No, you don't. Didn't they do a damn recall on them? Do your research on birth control. The only birth control that's 100% is abstinence. And until I found out further than just get head. I'm just saying.
And there you go. There you go. Exactly. So I think the same rule apply for the men as well. and
I'm
you know what?
Everybody. That's just the way it
is. Let's say you got these, I mean, what about, I mean, you got these guys and the women with the one-night stands and all this stuff because, you know, you don't want to wake up and that writing be on the wall or that mirror like, hey, welcome to the world of, you know what, HIV or AIDS.
That's another thing, too. The fact that parts of your body, and this is what I tell people and I tell my kids, the fact that parts of your body could fall off of you the next day, think about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what you're doing. Think about who you're doing with. If you want to have a one-night stand, please wear two condoms. I'm not a. Wear two. It's a one-night stand. Wear two.
Hold up. How do you wear two condoms?
You just put two of them on. Hell.
Damn.
First one break, it's going to leak to the second one.
I mean, he won't feel nothing.
Yes, you can. If you get we are not having a sex education class. Yes, you can. Yeah. But the thing is this. Two, don't go experiment. Two, but the thing is this. I've told 50 million people this. And then, ladies, that man that's going to tell that famous lie. And women tell a lie, too. Oh, I want it raw. I just want to feel you inside of me. Really? With a condom on. You want to feel me inside of you? Let's get married. That will put a stop to a whole bunch of stuff.
He went, hold on, wait a minute. I ain't getting married.
I ain't trying to marry you. You ain't trying to go up in me raw either. And then,
you know
then women be talking about, oh, I just want to feel you inside. No, she don't. She just want a baby dumped inside of her. You better put on them two condoms. Remember what I said to keep it moving?
That's what it is. Look, fellas, if she's asking you where you work at, what do you do for a living, before you have sex, y'all don't talk about sex before? And she asks a lot about your financial status. Oh, that's your car? Oh, okay, where you live at? Oh, okay.
Tell her you borrowed that car from your uncle and you work at McDonald's and see if she's still sitting next to you at the end of the night.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Listen, now, I'm going to take it back to coming to America. Tell her you're a sheep herder. Tell her you just came in, you know, the country, on a student visa. See, that's what I'm talking about right there.
I mean, seriously, my
now,
youngest brother was hired
now?
When the same damn thing. When a man start asking you about all this, you tell him some diamonds on your finger are fake. You wear Louis Vuitton shoes because you belong to the Rent a Shoe Club.
Booty's
purse is not real. It's a knockoff. Oh, we can't go back to my apartment because I got 15 roommates and I kind of sleep on the couch. Does he care about you? All that's not going to come into play. Trying to find out how much money you have or whatever. And ladies, do me a favor. Stop going out with a freaking credit card that's black, a black card, or any card that has an unlimited balance on it, or any card that may look like it has a $50,000 balance on it, take your $20 out your bank machine, leave your card at home in the freezer, like Eddie said, go out and have a good time.
Please, a woman don't have to pay for nothing.
Stop trying to flex for everybody.
Costume
really is a big thing. Wear it. Well, that's
mm-hmm.
true. I used to go out with no money. I don't even carry ID. I'll be like, look, you card me if you want to. I don't have anything on me. Do I look like I carry something in this outfit?
Oh, my God. Damn.
And ladies, oh, my God. I'm in Georgia. I went out to the bar to watch the game and just chill. And there was another lady there, and she wasn't interested in the game. I could tell she was interested in the fact that tons of guys that show up there on game night. And
mm-hmm.
this guy walked up to her and said, you going to buy me a drink?
What?
And she said, sure. Yeah. And she said, sure. He went to the bathroom. I couldn't get across the bar to her fast enough. If you buy him a drink.
Wait a minute. The dude went to her and said, are you going to buy me a drink?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why he did it. I want to hear what you have to say. I'm going to tell you why he did it.
And
I know, Eddie, if you're listening, I know you're going to agree with me on this. And fellas, you listening, you those who
I said,
got their status up.
that's bullshit. If a man walks up to you and asks you to buy him a drink, and your dumb ass going to say yes. You don't buy nobody a drink to ask you to buy them a damn drink. If you buy that man a drink, I'm going to hit you in the head with that bar stool. The business hall is right over there, and I can walk over here. I'm going to be barred from the bar. I'm really going to be mad at you.
See, I'm going to tell you what he did. What happened was he was sitting at the bar. He caught that eye contact with Shorty. Shorty was like, okay, I'm checking you out. And he knows once that eye contact goes across that bar, and she's like, oh, they feel him. And they look, he in little tiny little waves, and he walked up all smooth. Like, how you doing, mommy? Look, how you doing? You know,
I got a question. Y'all with them. Y'all know them. Don't have them walking behind y'all. It's dark outside. Don't make me hurt you. Put them in front of y'all. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, sorry. That was an interlude commercial.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot I'm on the radio. Check with me later. I'm going to radio show. I'm sorry. That was some kids walking by, and the girl walked behind
cool,
the guy, and I couldn't have it.
No, that was cool. That was cool. Listening like, what the hell?
I'm sorry. I got a thing for kids. I'm going to stop in my tracks. I'm outside, but
that's cool. That's cool. But but like I said, that dude, he more than likely already had a connection with her without even saying nothing, and he knew that she was there looking. I mean, a man. This is real talk. That man basically was a predator. He seen when she was, you know, there alone, kind of hanging out on a by herself, and he capitalized on it. That's what he did.
I wish down here in the southern region, the men are not, you know, and they think that's cute. Oh, did you buy me dinner? Negro, what did you do for me lately? I don't even know you. You're not asking about you dinner. It's not cute. It's not a come on. It's not even a good hello.
See,
like,
that was established.
I was just playing with you. Don't play with me. I'm not your pal.
Nah, he wasn't
playing. If I would have said you can have this plate, he would have took that plate. No, hell no. You don't know me. I'm not buying you dinner. My kids ain't not walk up on me in public and ask me if I'm buying them dinner. They better be pulling out some money. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
But the thing that get me, I'm seeing women do this and respond to this and think that's cute. It's not cute. If a man walks up to you and says anything other than hello, it's a lie. And you're not the first person he said it to that night, and you're not going to be the last.
You know what we're going to do? I'm going to talk to you after the show about that. We get an opportunity. What I would like to do, something called perceptions. I want to have a show about perceptions. Just perceptions. Basically, within that first 5 minutes, what is your perception of somebody? Because I was told before, when you first meet someone, your first 5 minutes is very key and essential in how you present yourself. You have 5 minutes to basically say who you are, what you are, what you're doing, whether it's coming to interview, meeting somebody, meeting a woman, and even your, well, call it your outro. Because you can leave a lasting impression after, you know, you meet someone. I would love to talk about that with you. I mean, and definitely with some of our other, you know, panelists, definitely. Is that cool, Drew?
I am so into that. That makes a difference to me. I'm willing to catch cases behind that first 5 minutes.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I trained my daughter and my son on that. I said, y'all have 5 minutes to let a person know who you are. That 5 minutes, you got to impress. You got to either impress, let them know that you're not playing. You have to basically sell who you are in that 5 minutes. Not only how you come across when you first meet that person, it's how you leave, too. Because your last statement and what you say to that person, they're going to remember that. And he's like, my son was like, I never thought about that. I said, trust me.
But
I said, you'll get jobs
that way. Whether or not 5 minutes after you leave me, am I thinking about you or have I forgot I even had an encounter with you?
Good point. And that can go to relationships, too. If you're meeting some person that you're really interested in, you want to get to know that person, 5 minutes. Listen, I told my son, you know, he said, Dad, you know, you don't know what you're doing. I said, listen, man, let me tell you something. I got game. And he's like, oh, no, you don't. I said, listen, here's what's going to happen. I told my son something. Yeah, I know you like this young lady. I said, let's hear what you're going to do. You're not going to oversell yourself. You're going to ask how she's doing. You're going to say hello. First, you're going to greet her. Say hello, how you doing? You know, introduce yourself as, you know, say your name. So, listen, I've just been, you know, admiring you. I was just hoping that sometime we can meet and talk later. But if not, I understand you're busy right now. So, you know, we'll see each other around the campus because you go to college. He said that.
Gold.
That woman,
that
young lady couldn't stop thinking about him. She couldn't stop
that
thinking
gold.
About him.
That is
and
gold.
He walked
that's
off.
Job.
And he walked off. And I was like, he came slightly. He said, Dad. She came to me like, how you doing? I said, she's not going to tip her hand. She's going to keep on saying hi because now you intrigued her. You intrigued her mind. And he was like,
oh my God. That was gold. That was gold. And that's all it is to it, because if you come at her with anything else, she's going to be like, this fool. Because, gentlemen, understand this. It takes 5 minutes to impress a young lady or old woman,
mm-hmm.
whatever you like. And
mm-hmm.
you guys normally spend the next 30 minutes talking us out even wanting to know your name again.
That's right. Exactly. Because now, my grandfather, God bless his soul, he always says, listen, when you meet somebody, you know, a young lady, you want to know her last name. You know, and I ask my son, anytime he brings a young lady around me or my daughter or whatever, what's their last name? I don't know. Then you know you don't know that person. You don't know that person.
And you know what?
You take the time
you know how
to know
sad
that,
that is? Remember when they were in kindergarten and they said everybody's whole name all the time and that drove us crazy?
Oh, yes. I remember that. Yes.
Remember that? I will never forget that because
that
drove me up the freaking wall. It's like, can't you just say Tommy? You know. And then now they go, Mom, Tom. Okay, Tom who? I don't know their last name. Really.
Mm-hmm. That could be a crazy person. You know, who's this person? Jeffrey Dahmer.
Sweetie, you might want to run left. Leave Peter Jr. that one. But you're right.
Listen.
You told your son right. That was gold.
Exactly.
He was thinking about him for the rest of the day. Simple hellos will catch my attention. Anything past a light, general conversation, you're not going to have my attention because I'm going to be looking at you sideways going, what the hell? What, did I forget I know you? And I don't have good sense. My face tells everything, and then my mouth will say it.
That's right. You said
and
it right there.
So, but leave me with that thing that makes me take a few steps and go, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's definitely something. It's definitely something that we all and a lot of young people need to learn from. Oh, God, look, I didn't really realize we held it down. Once again, first of all, let's give an applause to Miss Signature Black holding it down and made up show today. Oh, my God. Oh, congratulations, young lady.
No
like,
problem.
She held it down, you know. So, look, we got 2 minutes left. Is any closing remarks you want to say to some of our listeners? Because I enjoy it.
No problem. Women, stop being so angry. Find somebody to talk to about that anger. Find a way to make it work. Reach out to that other parent on an adult level. You thought you were being an adult and you had the baby. Continue to be an adult.
That's plain and simple. That's it. That's all you can say at that point. No, listen, it's been a great show. I appreciate, you know, Miss Sig, the first lady of the Man of Talk show, holding it down. She's beautiful. She's a strong woman. And ladies, please, talking from the heart. Talking from the heart. And I appreciate it, definitely, all hands down. But we're going to close it out at this point, Sig. When you get an opportunity, I'm going to text you my number, man. We got to talk.
Okay. All right.
We got to talk outside of here. You know, love you very much. But I'm going to end this talk up with Beautiful the Five.
beautiful surprise by Tamia. And let's have a good night, everyone. God bless, and we'll see you next week.
All right, good night.
Good night, everyone.